Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading this morning from Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 38. Etam Ritriyag Rishi Deva Javtasavatarai. Excuse me, I have to do a different meter. Etam Ritriyag Rishi Deva Javtasavatarai. Lokan vibhava yasi hangsi jagat pratipan. Dharmam mahapurusha pashi yuganuvrittam. Chanakalo yad abhavas priyotas satvam. Itam Dhritirya Grishi Deva Jasavatarayar. Vokan Vibhava Yasi Hangsi Jagat Pratipan. Dharmam Mahapurusha Pashi Yoganu Vrittam. Chanakalo yad abhavas triyogata sattvam. Itam riktirya grishi deva jasavatarayar. Lokan vibhava yasi hangsi jagat pratipan. Itam Rikirya Deva Jasavatarayar. Lokan Vibhava Yasi Hangsi Jagat Pratipan. Dharmam Mahapurusha Pashi Jagadnavrittam. Chanakalo yad abhavas triyogata sattvam. Itam ritirya grishi deva jashavatarayar. Lokan vibhava yasi hangshi jagat pratipan. Dharma Mahapurusha Pashi Yagadnavrittam. Chanakalo Yad Anubhas Yogatasa. Itam Rishi Deva Jasavatarayar. Lokan vibhava yasi hangsi jagat pratipan. Dharmam mahapurusha pashi yugano vrittam. Janakalo yad abhavas triyogata sattvam. Itam. In this way, like a human, such as Lord Krishna and Lord Ramachandra. Tiryak, like animals such as the boar. Rishi, as a saint. Parashurama, Deva, as demigods. Jasha, as an aquatic, like the fish and tortoise. Avatarai, by such different incarnations. Lokan, all the different planetary systems. Vibhavayasi, you protect. Hungsi, you sometimes kill. Jagat Pratipan, persons who have simply created trouble in this world. Dharmam, the principles of religion. Mahapurusha, oh great personality. Pasi, you protect. Yuga Anuvritam, according to the different millenniums. Chanaha, covered. Kalau, in the age of Kali. Yet, since. Abhavaha, have been and will be in the future. Triyogaha, named Triyuga. Ataha, therefore. Saha, the same personality. Tam, you. Translation. In this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations, such as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, fish, or tortoise, and thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems, and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, to protect the principles of religion in the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the supreme personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Triyuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. Report. As the Lord appeared just to maintain Lord Brahma from the attack of Madhu and Kaitava, he also appeared to protect the great devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to protect the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. There are four yugas, or millenniums, Satyatreta, Dwarapa, and Kali. In all the yugas but Kali Yuga, the Lord appears in various incarnations and asserts himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appears in Kali Yuga as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he never asserted himself as such. On the contrary, whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was addressed as being as good as Krishna, he blocked his ears with his hands, denying his identity with Krishna, because he was playing the part of a devotee. Lord Chaitanya knew that in Kali Yuga there would be many bogus incarnations pretending to be God, and therefore he avoided asserting himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, in many Vedic literatures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishnavarnam Tusha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yajyai Sankirtana Prayair Yajantihi Sumedasaha. In Kali Yuga, intelligent men worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is always accompanied by his associates, such as Nityananda, Dvaita, Gadadhar, Jivas. The entire Krishna consciousness movement is based on the principles of the Sankirtan movement inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, one who tries to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of the Sankirtan movement knows everything perfectly. He is Sumedha, a person with substantial intelligence. So congratulations, all of you. You are persons of substantial intelligence, somehow or other. How so? Because you're worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the Sankirtan process. When I read the verse this morning, I was pleasantly surprised, because I've been spending lots of time preparing for a seminar on Tattva Sandarbha, and this verse is a very important verse in Tattva Sandarbha, or in connection with Tattva Sandarbha. So I'm going to connect the verse to Tattva Sandarbha. That's right. What's Tattva Sandarbha? There's Gopi Pranadana Prabhu's translation and simulated commentary based on the commentaries of the author himself, Jiva Goswami. He wrote a commentary. He wrote the book, and then he wrote the commentary on the book. All of the Sandarbhas, the Sandarbhas. Sarva Sambhadani is the title of the commentary. And then, following him, that commentary was in Sanskrit. Bhavadev Vidyabhusan wrote a commentary on Tattva Sandarbha and the other Sandarbhas. And synthesizing those two commentaries, this translation is here. Some of you were here, and you may even recall the presentation that I made on the realization of Vyas in trance in the evening, a number of evenings in a row. That's taken directly from Tattva Sandarbha. Because the Sandarbhas, just very quickly, say it in really simple terms. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not, as was customarily done when someone was presenting a fresh perspective on all of the Vedas, they would write commentary on Vedanta Sutra, that because Vedanta Sutra is like key to the entirety of all the vast, vast Vedas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't create a commentary, because he said Srimad Bhagavatam is already the commentary by the author himself, so why replicate another commentary? And he accepted Sridhar Swami's commentary on Bhagavatam to be authoritative commentary. That was good enough for him. So, for the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, up to the time of Jiva Goswami, there was no such formal commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Rather, what Jiva Goswami did was a commentary on the Bhagavatam, which is commentary on Vedanta Sutra, so in effect it's commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Follow the logic. So, without going too much into more on that topic, if you recall from when I spoke and visited here before, these two terms, systematic and comprehensive. Systematic and comprehensive means presentation, means very orderly. And comprehensive means everything, because the Vedas include everything. And Vedanta Sutra is a summary of everything, and he was summarizing commentary on Vedanta Sutra without writing a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. By making commentary on the Bhagavatam, which is the commentary on Vedanta. So everything is there, A to Z. It's a heavy literature. I invite you to someday, when you have thoroughly studied Prabhupada's books several times, he has a lot of books too, then you can take a look at the Sandarbhas if they're awesome. And in the beginning of Tattva Sandarbha, in the beginning of the six Sandarbhas, Sat Sandarbha in Sanskrit, or anyway, there's a Mangalacharana. What is Mangalacharana? We have our own, in ISKCON, we have our Mangalacharana. Those prayers that are in the, well, we have a yajna. Recite the Mangalacharana prayers. That's Mangalacharana prayers, all those. Or we have Pushpanjali. We recite the Mangalacharana prayers. It means, Mangala means auspicious. And Charana. Charana indicates presenting oneself at the feet of those who are auspicious, or enactment of auspiciousness is a nice English translation of what Mangalacharana means. Enactment of, so before beginning something, there's an enactment of auspiciousness. And people that are cultured do that. Maybe some of you know Vrajabihari. Vrajabihari? He's a wonderful devotee, and he facilitates. Like, he was here for this, you know, in August for our North American GBC meeting, because he's a fantastic facilitator, and he was trained by his spiritual master, Gaurijan Prabhu, before beginning facilitating anything. You recite prayers of auspiciousness. You begin something with auspiciousness. And so, for example, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj, has a number of prayers that are Mangalacharana prayers. And in verse 22 of Adi Leela, chapter 1, he identifies what goes into a Mangalacharana. And one of those, there's three things. One of them is stating the purpose of the book. Another is Vishaya, the object in Sanskrit, Vishaya. It's Vishaya, the object. The object of the purpose of the literature, and then offering obeisances and offering blessings. Those are the three things that he indicates. There's other things, but so the very beginning of Tattva Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami cites the verse that's in this purport. The verse that's in the purport is 11.5.32. 11th canto, these first several chapters, these are discussions between the Navayogendras and King Nimi. Who's the Navayogendras? Navayogendras are nine, because Nava means nine, the nine sons of Rishabdev. Out of the 100 sons, nine of them became Uttama Bhagavats. That's the Navayogendras. And the Navayogendras were one time, they were like Narada Muni. They could just travel anywhere. Anywhere in the universe. Because they were so elevated. And one time, they happened to come to a place where King Nimi was performing, or some brahmanas on his behalf were performing a karmakanda yagya. And when you do a karmakanda yagya, once you start, you don't stop, you have to keep going. He stopped because the Navayogendras came to the location. He just stood up and paid his obeisances before them. They were effulgent, like, you know, a number of suns illuminating the place. And he, you know, he hid his obeisances and salutations and greeting them and requested, you know, "I don't know why you come here, but this is a wonderful opportunity in creating auspiciousness in my life, far more than the yagya itself. And so, may I submit some questions?" And he submitted a bunch of questions, and the nine, each one of the nine, addressed different questions. So one of the questions, chapter 5, is similar to one of the main six questions that come in chapter 1 of Canto 1. You know, describe the incarnations of the Lord as they appear in this world. One of the six questions in chapter 1. So he asked that question, and then it's answered by Karabhajana Muni, one of the nine Yogendras. And when they get to the incarnation, the Yuga avatar, because there's six different types of avatars, one of them is Yuga avatars, this verse that's quoted in the purport is the introductory verse, the first verse of the entire Sandarvas. It's the Mangalacharna verse. And it's doing two things. Stating the purpose of the Sandarvas, and it's to glorify Krishna. That's the purpose. Because that's the purpose of the Bhagavatam. To reveal Krishna. His glories and everything about him. His form, his qualities, his pastimes. The tattva of Krishna. Krishna tattva. And simultaneously, the verse is disclosing Jiva Goswami's worshipable Lord, the Ishtadev, it's a Sanskrit term. The very first verse, those two things. The purpose of the book, revealing Krishna. Truths of Krishna, Krishna tattva. And his worshipable master. And who is his worshipable master? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like us, Jiva Goswami never met Lord Chaitanya. In the early stages of his life, it's not much information. It's not from Bhakti Ratnakar or other sources. So perhaps, some accounts say, perhaps, when he was just a little baby, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to Ramakali and met Sanatana Rupa Goswami, he had been born. Others don't say that. So they say it, you know, factually, it's not known. But in any case, he never had any, other than if there was a possibility of a baby in the presence of Lord Chaitanya, no association. But he, you know, an awesome personality in many ways. One of them, most known, is his literary ways, and there's many other ways in which he was awesome as an acharya. So, his worshipable master is Lord Chaitanya. His initiating spiritual master, his Diksha Guru, was Rupa Goswami. His Shiksha Guru, or one of them, primary, was Sanatana Goswami. And his worshipable master was Lord Chaitanya. Of course, in the deity form, he worshipped the deity of Radha Damodar, Jiva Goswami. And that's another wonderful thing about Jiva Goswami's awesomeness. His worship of Radha Damodar was very, very special. So he's disclosing to the reader, the very first verse, his worshipful master. And in the verse, well-known verse, we hear it quoted often, the Hare Krishna movement. Here it is, right in the purport. Krishna Varnam Trisha Akrishna. Trisha means complexion, and Akrishna means not blackish. That's our Gaudiya rendering. Krishna Varnam, he's in the category of Krishna, like, you know, Varna and Ashram, Varna, category, Krishna Varnam, he's in the category of Krishna, but he's not blackish like Krishna. He's Krishna. And then, how do we know? Well, the verse says his complexion is not blackish. How do we know that Lord Chaitanya, this is now going a little bit into Sarva Sambhadini, the commentary. This is our Gaudiya rendering. Jiva Goswami learned this from Rupa and Sanatana, so it goes like this. In the 10th canto, chapter 3, there's the name-giving ceremony for Krishna performed by Garga Muni. Who's Garga Muni? He's a fantastic astrologer from the Yadu dynasty, the Brahmana. So he did the name-giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram. And there's a famous verse that supports that Lord Chaitanya, very, very important verse, that supports that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. Not an avatar of Krishna. He's Krishna. That's our teaching. It's our Gaudiya teaching. Yes? He's Krishna. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. Because what Garga Muni says is that this son of yours, this little baby, in previous ages, Shukla Rakta Tathakita. Shukla means white. Rakta means red. And Kita, like, you know, one of the color of Krishna's dhoti, yellow or golden. And here is Krishna, who is blackish. So these are the colors of the Yuga avatars. So a little, I hope you're enjoying this detailed presentation. In Satya Yuga, that's the incarnation is white. You know, some of the names of some of the white incarnations in Satya Yuga? Huh? Kapila. No. In Satya Yuga, Yuga avatars, not Leela avatars, Yuga avatars, white. Hamsa is another white. And in Treta Yuga, red. His name is Yajna. He appears holding a ladle for offering oblations and paraphernalia for Yajna, because he does this, that's Treta Yuga. And then, of course, Krishna is Dwarpa Yuga, and then Kali Yuga is the one that's left over. Golden. Pita. Yellow is gold in color. Now, this verse, for this morning's verse, is mentioned in Jiva Goswami's commentary on that Mangalacharna first verse. This one. Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishna Sangha Pangas Kaparshadam. Sangha means association. When he comes with his Sangha. And his Sangha includes his associates and his astras. Astra means weapon, like Brahmastra. It's a weapon. So his weapon, the holy name. So when we go in Harinam, we got our weapons. It's a peaceful, war on Maya. Declaring war on Maya through, releasing astras. The holy name. Meant to cleanse the heart of Paul. Yajyai sankirtana prayayar yajanti hi sumedasa. Those who worship through that sankirtan process, they're sumeda, they're very intelligent. So, in Jiva Goswami's, all of his writings, I mean, I've come to appreciate how he does this, that he does it, and how he does it. He knows the people that disagree with the Gaudiya position. He's defending the Gaudiya position, or addressing the doubts, the charges and challenges, and you know, the skeptics. So, one of the skeptical presentations is this. So he brings it up. He doesn't like, you know, I hope they don't notice this one. He brings it right out in his commentary and says, this word, chana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we say, is chana avatar, because it's what Srimad Bhagavatam says what he is. Chana. Chana means hidden. In this verse, the Lord is known as Triyuga. Now what does that mean? The Lord doesn't appear, some people say, because he just doesn't appear in Kali Yuga. He's Triyuga. So the first three, not that one. Well, that's not what Garga Muni said. He appears in four yugas because there must be a yuga avatar. Some of you are a little familiar with Chaitanya Charitamrita, and you're familiar with the passage where Lord Chaitanya goes to Puri. He sees Lord Jagannath. He runs to Lord Jagannath because he sees Krishna with his arms outstretched, and in anticipation of embracing Krishna, he collapses on the floor unconscious. And the guards think, what's this guy? And they're, you know, ready to toss him out. Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya comes right at that moment and says, no, don't toss him out. Make an arrangement for him to come to my home. You know the pastime. So they, you know, he is Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya. He's the chief priest of thousands of sannyasis and the chief priest of the king. So whatever Sarvabhuma says, that happens. So he was literally carried to Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya's home, who tested him because he's a great scholar. And he took some fibers of cotton, placed the fibers of cotton before his nostrils to see if he was cheating. Because a cheater would pretend to be in a trance, but the air would be moving like he's breathing. But the air from the nostrils of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was hardly moving. He was literally in a trance. He understood this is not an ordinary person. His brother-in-law, Gopinath Acharya, fast forward a bit, privately told Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, he's the personality of Godhead. Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya said, my dear brother-in-law, be careful what you're saying, because we know that the Lord is Triyuga. It says right here in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 38, the Lord is Triyuga. So how can you say he's the personality of Godhead? And Gopinath Acharya objected. You're such a fool. The personality of Godhead is in your home, and you don't recognize it. The scriptures use this word Triyuga to indicate there are no Leela avatars, but there must be a Yuga avatar, because there's four yugas. There's yuga avatars. But you're so hard-hearted and blinded by your so-called scholarly study, your heart has become hard like a dry oil cake. Brother said, "No, calm down. We're only having a discussion here." But that's one reply. It's a major reply. This term triyuga means, according to Gopinath Acharya, there's a yuga avatar. According to Garga Muni, there's a yuga avatar. And according to Sridhar Swami's commentary on this verse, and who's Sridhar Swami? He's the Acharya who commented on Srimad Bhagavatam, and Lord Chaitanya accepted his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Sridhar Swami is not in the same line as Lord Chaitanya. He is a bona fide Acharya in the Vishnu Swami line. And he appeared very shortly after Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya is in the same line as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the line of Madhvacharya. But Lord Chaitanya accepted this person from another sampradaya. This is significant. And Jiva Goswami calls him a pure devotee, a perfect devotee. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him that way, he accepted him that way. And according to Sridhar Swami's commentary on this verse, he says, you know, it's exactly as the verse says. He says, as Krishna indicates in Bhagavad Gita, what's the three reasons why Krishna appears, according to Bhagavad Gita? Pritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya chaduskritam, dharmasam sthapanartaya sambhavam yugayugay. So, this verse says the same. Krishna comes, the Supreme Lord appears in this world, and he kills the demons. In the beginning of this purport, that the mention is made of Madhu and Kaitava attacking Lord Brahma. They were demons. And they were attacking Lord Brahma to get the Vedas. So the Supreme Lord appeared and killed them. Therefore his name, Madhusudana, means the killer of the demon Madhu. So he comes to protect the devotees and to establish Dharma and to kill the demons. So this verse is saying he doesn't do that. This is Sridhar Swami's commentary. He doesn't do that in the age of Kali. Rather, he keeps himself hidden. His position as the Supreme Lord remains hidden. Now Ramchandra, for example, Ramchandra didn't declare himself to be the personality of Godhead. But he showed his divinity in so many ways. So many ways. In fact, the very verse following the Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam verse, that's Canto 11, Chapter 5, Text 32. The very next verse describes what Gaudiya Vaishnavas understand as a glorification of Krishna. Sridhar Swami takes it as a glorification of Lord Ramachandra. Without details, details are always very nice, but there's not time for that just now. Lord Ramachandra didn't hide his divinity. He didn't declare his divinity. Neither did Krishna declare his divinity. Bhishma Dev did, and others did, declared Krishna's divinity. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did the opposite. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when people said, "You're the Supreme Lord, Vishnu," what did he do? Put his hands on his ears and ran for the Ganga and jumped in the Ganga with all his clothes on. Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu! And came out saying, you know, that was to purify myself. You can't do this. You can't call a jiva Vishnu. That's what he said. He was taking the position like he's one of us. Although his divinity was known. How? Through the quality of bhakti of his bhaktas. And on the authority of scripture, not just, you know, the sentiments of his followers. Just to add, because, yeah, just to there's another verse that Jiva Goswami cites along with this one, and it's a verse from the Vishnu Dhammotara Purana. I'm going to read it to you, the translation, because compliments of Jiva Goswami. It's referred to in his commentary on that verse. Here's the translation. The Vishnu Dhammotara Purana asserts, quote, Lord Hari is not seen to assume a manifest form in Kali Yuga. He appears only in the other three ages, beginning with Satya Yuga. Therefore, he is called Triyuga. But when Kali Yuga has reached its end, Lord Vasudev will enter into the body of Kalki, the proponent of Vedic truth, and reestablishes order in the world. So, Jiva Goswami comments on that Vishnu Dhammotara verse that says this is the rule, and when Swayam Bhagavan Krishna appears, the fullness of his potency reverses the rule or overrides the rule. When Krishna comes himself, the following yuga, it's Krishna himself. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now there's other subtleties and intricate points that there isn't time for, but it's, you know, the verse is a very important verse in understanding who is Lord Chaitanya. And back to the Bhagavatam verse, this one, this is Prahlad Maharaj offering prayers to Lord Nrisingadev, indicating that you, Lord Nrisingadev, appear in different ages, but because you don't appear in such a way, this is now Sridhar Swami's, I'll read his commentary. Commentary on this, in this word chana particularly. You both protect and kill. Right? Prithunaya sadhanam vinachaya chudrasputam. You both protect and kill. Mentioned in this verse also. But in Kali Yuga you do not do this because at that time you are concealed. Therefore, since you appear only in three yugas, you're known as Triyuga. It's a somewhat different, related but different explanation than what Gopinath Acharya gives to his brother-in-law, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So just do it again. Summary. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna himself, and this verse may seem to contradict it. How to understand this verse? Because, one, when Krishna comes, when Kali Yuga comes, the act that the Supreme Lord normally performs of killing the non-devotees and demoniac kings, Lord Chaitanya didn't do. Therefore, Triyuga. But he did it in a different way. What's that? his astras of killing the demoniac mentality through the chanting of the holy name and the teachings of devotion. No, the demoniac mentality is pretty tough, pretty tenacious. But the potency is there to do that. And that's Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, of those that take part in it are of Sumedha quality. Another explanation given by Gopinath Acharya is the Supreme Lord appears as the Yuga avatar, not the Leela avatar, and therefore Triyuga. Now, mentioned in this Vishnu Damodara verse that says the Lord doesn't appear in Kali Yuga, the very verse says at the end of Kali Yuga he enters into the body of Kalki. So there's a Leela avatar at the end of Kali Yuga. Yes? Right? You with me? Did I lose you? Yes. Yeah. No, you. At the end of Kali Yuga, Kalki avatar comes. Yes? And he's a Leela avatar. You know, there they are. There's the ten. And one of them is on the far right. That's Kalki. He rides a white horse and he annihilates. He's, you know, wipes the slate clean and Sat Yuga begins. He's a Leela avatar that appears at the end of Kali Yuga, but the very end of Kali Yuga. At the very end. So there is a Leela avatar in Kali Yuga, so why is he called Triyuga? The very verse that says Triyuga says he comes at the end of Kali Yuga. But it's a very special person. Jiva Goswami's commentary says that the rule is reversed when Krishna comes in his original form. It's like more details. Sridhar Swami says, very interesting, Sridhar Swami says, in this Akrishnam, that Trisha, Akrishna, his complexion is not blackish, he reads it differently. Of course, he appeared living before Lord Chaitanya made his appearance. He's not a Gaudiya Vaishnava. He says, when the original personality of Godhead comes, he's the Yuga avatar for both. He's blackish. And in the other 999 of the 1,000 Yuga cycles, he's blackish, according to Sridhar Swami. Trisha, Krishna, far out. Acharyas don't always agree. That's okay. Hey, Acharyas don't always agree too. But on the basis of scriptural authority, these statements are being made. So, there was a third summary quote. What Gopinath Acharya says, what Sridhar Swami says, one other point I wanted to make, which is, it's nice. It's interesting and it's very nice. Commonly, when the invocation verse, the Mangalacharna verse, is written, the author writes his own verse. It's like the declaration of the purpose of the verse and whatever other things that are elements in that verse. Krishna Das Kaviraj does that. Vrindavan Das Thakur does that in his Chaitanya Bhagavat. Very, very beautiful verse. In this one, Jiva Goswami purposefully chooses, Baladev says, he purposely chooses a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam because he wants to put Bhagavatam right up front. This book is about the Bhagavatam rather than my words. And revealing Krishna, Krishna Tattva, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because then we can understand Krishna Tattva. It's a package in one verse, three things. Unique. Any comments or questions?
Thank you for your class. You were mentioning that Krishna or in Ramachandra, even though they established themselves as God, they didn't say it. The other devotees mentioned it. So my question is kind of related to that point on a practical level that could be applied to us. In general, I guess we have the tendency to reveal our glories, our personal glories on our own. And usually, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we kind of cover our mistakes, but of course Chaitanya didn't cover his mistakes. But that's our tendency, to cover our mistakes or our faults, or we don't want anyone to know I'm depressed or I'm not an Uttama Adhikari. And on the flip side of the coin, we also generally have a tendency to cover the glories of others and uncover all their faults. So how do we kind of reverse this tendency? What are some steps we could take to, because we're generally acquiring we're not getting rid of our anarthas, and at the same time, we're also acquiring more. So what are some steps we could do to kind of fit this mentality, you know, so we could be more enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness?
I got about 60% of your question. The first response is be very, 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 very careful about taking what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did versus what Ramchandra and Krishna did, and then, you know, transposing that upon our own situation. These are transcendental leelas. So just, that's a word of caution. I understand the force of your question. Hearing about this has inspired me to think about how we as devotees can curb the tendency of wanting to push forward our glories, or the other way of being, you know, being very humble and being appreciated for being very humble, and, you know, it's another flip side of pushing forward our glories. They're both non-spiritual. So how can we avoid the non-spiritual position of either of those two poles? That's your question. By the process of Krishna consciousness. There's a necessity to become purified, because without purification we're not going to understand anything properly. And then with purification, then there's means of knowing what is genuine humility as opposed to the cosmetic kind, or what is false ego of pushing ourselves forward as opposed to in Krishna's service being very confident and bold in carrying out Krishna's service, while at the same time being, you know, literally very humble in spirit in our relationship with Krishna, at the same time humble and bold. So there's scriptural evidence to give us the indication of what it looks like. There's the means of purification, the hearing and chanting process, and following the hearing and chanting process, the opportunity to render service. And when we render service, we get all kinds of opportunities to get further purification, because things happen that challenge, you know, how attached we are to doership and false ego and self-aggrandizement and, you know, mixed motivations and all kinds of things that, you know, is further purification in the realm of devotional service. But carrying out that devotional service as guided by proper authorities. In short, is by the process of Krishna consciousness, we can come to that position. And until we come to that position, we should just, you know, kind of common sense, be honest with ourselves that there's going to be a mix, and we want to avoid it. We want to avoid this extreme and that extreme. So stay in the middle of the road. Stay very, very carefully following the process and submitting to our previous acharyas and our present founder acharya and those who are properly, nicely, transparently representing our founder acharya. Then we're more likely to get freed from those two extremes, following the process of Krishna consciousness nicely. So, anarjanavritti is the cart that's pulled by the horse. And the horse is proper bhajana kriya. So, carefully guarding against offenses when we chant the holy name, for example, is a necessity if we want to get to what you're asking about. And the converse is, if we engage in offenses, then we're not going to get there. In the name of whatever, in the name of devotional service, we're not going to get there. What does Lord Chaitanya say? One can go on chanting the holy name for millions, bahu janma kadi yadi shravana kirtana, millions of lifetimes, and not get to this destination that you're speaking of. And thus, there's very careful guarding against offenses. It's not a small thing. It's not like, a ploy to get people to sit straight instead of slouching. It's real. The continued condition of covering, or worse, is the outcome of offenses. Anyway, then without offense, carrying forward with the process of Krishna consciousness, then reaching this position that you're describing becomes possible. Anything else? Yes. Could you speak in the mic? Yeah.
Thank you for the class. I was wondering if you could go a little bit deeper into, the significance, or maybe give us a deeper understanding of why the avatar for this Kali Yuga is hidden.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, it's in the purport of the verse. Two things. One is explicitly stated that Lord Chaitanya knew that in this age of Kali in particular, abundance of persons would put themselves forward or be put forward as incarnations. Abundant. I can't recall if it was Prabhupada said it or someone during Prabhupada's time, but just presently in India today, if my memory serves, there are a dozen Kalki avatars. And people go, wow, he's the person who only got it. So, without the detail, it's Kali Yuga, and knowing that persons would do such things, he did not disclose. He concealed, although he was the person who only got it, because people would cheat. He wanted people to not cheat, so he set the example. Then, another obvious purpose was his mood was the same as his complexion. His mood was that of Srimati Radharani, although the personality of Godhead. So Radharani doesn't go around, indicating she's the personality of Godhead. She's in the mood of loving the personality of Godhead. Like anything. So he didn't show that. He didn't disclose that. It was not his mood. before he was. As Krishna himself, he gave the teaching of surrender. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught how to surrender. So he was giving, you know, all these gifts in that mood of a devotee Krishna, not as Krishna. He accepted the position of a sannyasi. And, you know, underwent austerities of sleeping on the bare floor. The devotee couldn't take it. Jagatananda wanted to, you know, make a little mat for him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused. Jagatananda went and pouted. Because he was setting the example of one who is renounced from the world and at the same time superlatively attracted to the love of the gopis. It's part of the lila. As a youth, he showed, you know, super scholarship. Like, look out, here comes Nimai. Head for the hills. He's going to go and, you know, debate with us. Super scholar. So not a sentimentalist, as some people say, oh, these people that Krishna Bhaktas, you know, they're just intellectually weak, and so they go into this emotional thing. Superlatively scholarly, without adding all the examples. And superlatively renounced, yet he held the love of the gopis as the most exalted. Meaning it's not material. It's part of the lila. And to, you know, on the authority of who he was, excuse me, the pastime that he was displaying, super scholarly, super renounced, in the mood of the gopis. Not material, and not weak-mindedness. Just part of his lila. But therefore he... Gokulananda, you always have really nice questions. You have a question? Okay.
Lord Chaitanya also, he disclosed he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead sometimes.
From time to time.
With Ramananda Rai.
Yes, from time to time he did.
Yeah,
that.
He showed the universal form. So what was his purpose in doing that while he in other times was closing his... when somebody would say that he was the personality of Godhead and then he's showing to the devotees that he is Krishna himself?
Two reasons. Both coming from our acharyas. One, the devotees already knew. Pure devotees already knew. And he was just reciprocating with that pure devotion. Because that's our Lord. He reciprocates with the devotion of his devotees. And each of those times we read, but he said, don't disclose this to anyone. Right? Obviously, they disclosed it. But they disclosed it after. And this is the second thing that our acharyas describe. That Lord Chaitanya left behind evidence of his divinity, which the curtain was pulled back after his departure. His divinity disclosure curtain was pulled back. And then there's these, in addition to scriptural evidences, it's like, you know, like Sanatana Goswami, you know that section from Madhya Lila where Sanatana Goswami is asking Lord Chaitanya, who is the incarnation of the Supreme Lord in Kali Yuga? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I know your tricks, Sanatana Goswami. I'm not going to go there. He wanted Lord Chaitanya to say it, but he wouldn't say it. He instead he gave this funny answer. So he wasn't disclosing it, but his devotees already knew. He's omniscient. Sanatana Goswami knew, Rupa Goswami knew, they had evidence besides scriptural and besides their devotion. So he was continuing in that mood, although his devotees knew. And then after his departure, the evidence was there for the devotees to, you know, raise their arms and glorify Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the personality of Godhead. That's the second reason why he did that, even though sometimes he was doing this.
Just to continue on this, request to share something in seeking his clarification. To Bhakta Daniel's question, you mentioned that in Kali Yuga, so many people will say, I am an avatar of God, I am the Supreme Personality. Yeah. And I was appreciating that at a pedestrian level, I don't have references, but at a pedestrian level I feel that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is disclosing himself or his identity makes the word channa actually more appreciable, because if it is always hidden, then anybody can claim to be God. And if anyone says, as Prabhupada would challenge, can you demonstrate, can you show your divinity,
universal form,
and they will say, oh, it's channa, I'm hidden. So you cannot distinguish one from the other. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's demonstrating or showing actually glorifies the word channa even more.
Good. And I noticed that it's 9 o'clock, so I'm going to go in hiding. Srila Prabhupada, he...